Attention, women's health professionals. Early bird registration is officially open for FAM, our Fertility Awareness Mastery Mentorship. Classes start on March 26, 2025. FAM is the perfect program for busy women's health professionals who want to offer fertility awareness charting support in their practice. FAM cuts out all the fluff and only focuses on what you need to serve your clients better. Each module, homework assignment, and in-class training and chart review session are there for a reason. Where will you be 9 months from now? With a FAM certification, you'll have a brand new skill set that will allow you to use the menstrual cycle as a diagnostic tool and vital sign in your practice. Your confidence in analyzing and interpreting menstrual cycle charts will be at a level you can't even imagine today. And you'll have a brand new offering in your business that will allow you to reach more clients. This knowledge is truly life-changing for both you and your clients. Transform your practice in 9 months. You won't regret it. Join us this year in FAM. Head over to fertilityfriday.com/FAMLive to apply today. That's fertilityfriday.com/FAMMLIVE. This is the Fertility Friday Podcast, episode 563. In today's FAM research series, I am answering a really interesting question. And it may seem obvious, but I think it's still worth covering. The question is, will getting the timing right help you get pregnant faster? Now, I say that that may seem obvious because, I mean, many of you who have listened to the podcast for a while and are familiar with fertility awareness techniques, it makes sense that timing would make a difference. But what about for couples who've been trying to conceive for a long time? I think that when I first started charting, I kind of thought you couldn't screw it up, so to speak, if you were trying to conceive. I was using fertility awareness to avoid pregnancy for the first decade of my experience as a fertility awareness user. And in some ways, you kind of think to yourself, well, because we've been brainwashed to think that we could get pregnant on every single day of our cycle, that you would just get pregnant if you were just having sex based on whatever you were thinking. But it turns out that there is something to this. And the reason that I wanted to have this episode here, and I was really excited to find the research paper that I am going through today, is because this topic did come up in our FAM program. One of our FAM practitioners posed this question. Of course, in the FAM program, we are diving into not only timing, but we are also diving into strategies to support and optimize menstrual cycle health as well as fertility. And so the question is, does just addressing the timing only, does that increase a couple's chances of conception? Or does there always have to be, you know, these other aspects of it? So, I mean, when you're trying to conceive, it's important to focus on both aspects. It's important to focus on both timing and optimizing fertility, supporting sperm and egg quality. But that still brings us to today's question of, will simply adjusting the timing to ensure that you're hitting the right days for intercourse each cycle, will that alone increase the chances of pregnancy? So the short answer is yes. And in today's episode, we're going through a study that examined this question in a lot of detail. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right in. So as always, if you are wanting to dive into the study, find more information, you can head over to fertilityfriday.com/563. And there on the show notes page, I link to the study that we're talking about today. And if you're enjoying the FAM research series, you can head over to fertilityfriday.com/research and you'll find the list of all of our research episodes in this series, which I think we're just around 50 episodes or so at this point. So there are actually a number of studies that have looked at this question. And in the research world, this is termed fertility-focused intercourse. So when you are specifically tracking your cervical mucus patterns using fertility awareness techniques and having sex during the 6-day window of fertility. So what the research has shown consistently is that pregnancy is possible when intercourse takes place during the 6-day window of fertility that ends in your day of ovulation. So when we're looking at cycle tracking from a fertility awareness standpoint, you can't predict ovulation ahead of time in the sense that the purpose of fertility awareness charting isn't to predict ovulation, isn't to be able to say, okay, I always ovulate on day 15. So, you know, this cycle, I'm predicting that I'm going to ovulate on day 15. When you dive into the fertility awareness weeds, the goal of charting is to identify your fertile days. And so we do this on a day-to-day basis. And depending on the method that you're using, so for example, I teach the symptothermal method. So the primary way of identifying those days of fertility are by tracking your cervical mucus patterns. And so when you are in your pre-ovulatory phase, so leading up to ovulation, and you start to observe cervical mucus, and it can be the clear, stretchy, slippery type, it can be the creamy white hand lotion type, those days are considered fertile. So essentially, you're trying to determine, am I fertile or not? And the premise is that hormonally, we're producing this mucus in response to rising estrogen as we approach ovulation, and the mucus has the capacity to keep the sperm alive for up to 5 days. And the days that we have that clear, stretchy mucus in the highest quantities are typically correlated with the highest levels of estrogen, which tend to happen really close to ovulation. So we're not predicting, okay, I know exactly what day I'm going to ovulate on, but based on all of this information, if you time sex based on those days of what we would call peak fertility, then you are increasing your chance of having that sperm be captured by mucus and directed into your reproductive tract so that they will be there ready and waiting for when the egg is released. So this is the basis of today's study. But like I mentioned, there's a number of studies that have actually tracked this information. And so in my experience, just because again, I think that there's this kind of, like, at least I've had this thought of, you know, how could you mess this up? If you're not using protection, of course you're going to get pregnant. But because we have been brainwashed in a number of ways about our reproductive situation, not only do we think that we can get pregnant on every day of the cycle, because that's basically what our education system teaches us, we're also taught that all cycles are 28 days with day 14 ovulation. So there are couples who they kind of mistakenly use this logic and have sex around day 14 only. And there are obviously some cases where that is an ovulation day. Imagine that. There's studies that have been done, one study that I'm thinking about, where ovulation only happened around day 14, 13% of the time. There was a variety of different days that ovulation can take place. And just if you're tracking regular women, regular cycles, you'll see that there is a range. And so long story short, a lot of women don't ovulate on day 14. And so if you have couples that are kind of using this kind of rhythm method strategy, where they're always making sure to have sex around that day, based on this idea that that's when ovulation takes place, if you happen to ovulate earlier than that or later than that, you could be inadvertently reducing your chances of conception by not timing sex on those optimal days. So in this study, what's interesting about it is not only did they have the couples aim to have sex in the window, this particular study wanted to look at whether not only having sex in the window, but timing sex specifically on those days of peak fertility compared to days of what they termed low fertility, if that would even further increase the chances of conception. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So a little bit of background on the study itself. I mean, the researchers are looking at this question because although there has been research in this area, they wanted to kind of further look at, okay, but if we're specifying the days of peak fertility, which we'll get into a little bit more, does that further increase the chance? And when you look at just what the research says about this topic, I mean, women are starting to seek information about their fertility in larger numbers. And interestingly, you would assume that somebody who has been trying to conceive for a while would be the most educated about what's happening in their cycle. You would assume that. But when research is done to gather information about women's understanding and general fertility awareness as it pertains to trying to get pregnant, very few women are able to correctly identify their fertile days. So from the practitioner standpoint, there's a huge opportunity to educate your clients. Never assume that just because someone's trying to get pregnant, that they really truly understand which days are optimal for fertility. Many women use ovulation strips. We've talked a lot about that on the podcast, which can be an incredible tool, I would argue, alongside your actual fertility awareness knowledge. But it doesn't necessarily mean that each woman who's using it fully understands. So I say this just because in reality, since we are not taught about this aspect of our bodies, unless someone has truly been exposed to this concept of fertility awareness, cycle charting, and understanding the role of cervical mucus, basal body temperature, and just kind of generally how the cycle works, how would you know? How would you know that this is really what we're looking to do? Because there's a huge difference between trying to identify which day you're ovulating on and then having sex on that day. Kind of like, if it feels to me more like luck, like, okay, which day am I ovulating on? These strips are going to tell me which day. Like it, so then instead of thinking about your fertile window, instead of thinking about this 6-day window, you're thinking about one day. And that could even have an impact on your actions, because maybe that results in you having sex one day. And that one day, if it's mistimed, may not be helpful, versus the mindset of understanding the role of cervical mucus and then thinking about it within a window and having sex within that window. One of the key pieces that the researchers highlight in this study here is that they point out that the current recommendations, so the official recommendations that are made related to timing sex, are still have sex every other day, all the time, basically. And so these are the standard recommendations. These are the recommendations that medical professionals learn in their programs. And the researchers point out that these recommendations are actually not evidence-based. So one of the driving factors to do research like this one, research studies like this one, is to really build the evidence for a more targeted approach based on fertility awareness techniques to timing. Because to this day, when you go to your MD, when you go to your kind of standard medical practitioner, they're telling you to have sex, whether it's every day, whether it's every other day. I had a client whose doctor told her to have sex 5 times a day. Like, this information, these recommendations, they're not based on what the research is actually saying. And they're not necessarily increasing your chances of conception, because really and truly what we need to do if we want to increase the chances of conception is we need to hit those days in that fertile window. And we also need to identify those days of peak fertility based on mucus. So in this particular study, they taught their participants, or their participants had, I guess you could say, 2 options to identify which days of their cycle were what they called high and peak fertile days compared to days of low fertility. And so option 1 was to track cervical mucus, and they taught the women in the study how to identify the different types of cervical mucus so that they could kind of categorize whether what they were observing was peak fertility, high fertility, or low fertility. So the days of peak fertility, how they defined it, were days when they observed mucus that felt slippery and that was clear, stretchy, like egg white. So they defined those days of peak fertility as when you kind of have that raw egg white type cervical fluid that's really slippery. Days that they identified as high mucus, those days, the mucus they categorized as still stretchy, but it was typically cloudy. But whether or not it was cloudy or clear, they were looking at these days of stretchy mucus as days of high or peak fertility. And then they identified days of low fertility based on either having no mucus or having a minimal amount of what they termed sticky and not the stretchy type of mucus. So this is a little bit different to how I teach our practitioners about it. But either way, the main point, the main takeaway is that they did teach the participants to identify what is your peak mucus, like what are the days of peak fertility? And then they instructed them to time sex on those days. So that was option 1. And then option 2, the researchers in the study are also associated with the Marquette method. And so if you're not familiar with the Marquette method, it is a symptohormonal method that relies on the clear blue fertility monitor. And so instead of going directly to cervical mucus for these observations, the clear blue monitor allows a woman to measure her urinary metabolites of estrogen. And so what happens is, as you're approaching ovulation and your estrogen levels are rising, you know, the estrogen levels that are causing you to make all this juicy mucus, you're able to test the urinary metabolites. So the monitor itself will tell you if you are in your high or peak days of fertility versus low fertility based on your output of the urinary estrogen metabolites. So these methods are very complementary. Essentially, they're testing for the same thing. One is doing it directly from the hormone output, and the other is doing it based on the mucus, which is the result of the hormone output. And of course, both methods in the general sense allow for the user to decide what option is going to work better for them. But in this study, the participants had the opportunity to either, you know, use the mucus itself or to use the monitor to identify their days of peak fertility versus high fertility versus low fertility. So that's a little bit of background. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes just kind of laying that out, because it's not all the time that we have research studies that are actually put out by researchers with a strong background in fertility awareness techniques to get to this level of detail in a research study. So it's always fun to be able to go through and look at this level of specificity. So in this study, they included 124 women, and they measured their behavior prospectively, meaning that they had these women, they taught them how to identify these different fertility levels, like I mentioned, in whichever way that they wanted to do that. And they tracked them for a period of a year or more. And so these women were trying to conceive, obviously, given the nature of the study that we're talking about. And they tracked their menstrual cycles and identified when they were having sex in the menstrual cycle. So the researchers were able to identify whether or not the women were following the correct use recommendations, which would be to specifically have sex on those days of high or peak fertility. So the days where they have the cervical mucus of highest quality versus days where they had no mucus, or they just had what they had termed, like I said, as low quality cervical mucus. The average age of the women in the study was about 30, ranging from age 20 to 42. And the average time that the women couples were trying to conceive was about 4 months. So you had couples who hadn't started trying to conceive, but you also had couples who had been trying to conceive for a year or more. And the results were really interesting. As I mentioned, with the data that they were gathering and the way that they were gathering it, it allowed the researchers to identify how many cycles were charted in total. And out of those cycles, how many had sex specifically marked on the days of high or peak fertility versus the days of low fertility. So they were able to identify those participants who essentially had correct use based on the instructions versus not. And they were able to compare the difference between the pregnancy rate for those who had timed sex on those days of higher peak fertility versus the days of low fertility. And the results, I think, are pretty staggering. So they used a marker, and basically it is how many women out of 100 conceived within 12 months of trying based on whether they had sex on those higher peak days or whether they had sex on the low days of fertility. So in their study, 87 out of 100 women were pregnant within 12 months when they had sex specifically on the high or peak days, compared to 5 out of the 100 women who got pregnant when intercourse happened outside of those days. And so in this study, it's a little, so for those of you who are more familiar with fertility awareness specifically, so in this study, the days of low fertility also include some mucus days, because they're defining what they term sticky mucus to be low fertility. So it's not the same standard as what would be used for birth control, because this study was looking at conception and trying to prioritize those days of peak mucus. And so, like I said, in this study, they did identify days where, so when I'm teaching fertility awareness, we're looking at a kind of a black or white mucus or not in the preovulatory phase. So even if my client has mucus that she would define as sticky, we would identify that still as a fertile day, but we would still make that distinction between peak, because peak days are optimal for fertility. So I just want to kind of put that little nugget in there for anyone who's kind of like, what? For what it's worth, the way that they organized the study, the majority of those low fertility days would probably be days with no mucus. and then there would be a few days that might fall into that sticky category. But either way, those results are staggering. 5 out of 100 in a year versus 87 out of 100 in a year. As a women's health professional, you get it. You already know the value of menstrual cycle tracking. But I'm guessing that you're not entirely comfortable interpreting complex charts, weird mucus patterns, abnormal bleeding, or other similar and unusual situations. You're passionate about fertility awareness and you want to use it in your practice, but you're not sure where to start. And this is where FAM comes in. Registration is now open for our Fertility Awareness Mastery Mentorship Program. The next class starts in a few short weeks. We're starting on the 26th of March, 2025. By the time you finish your FAM certification, you'll have the skills to confidently teach fertility awareness to your clients, interpret all kinds of complex charting scenarios, and you'll have the step-by-step protocols you need to help your clients improve their hormone and menstrual cycle health. Registration is only open for a short time, so apply today at fertilityfriday.com/famlive. That's fertilityfriday.com/FAMMLIVE. Transform your practice in 9 months. Join us in FAM. Again, that's fertilityfriday.com/FAMMLIVE. Now let's go ahead and jump back into today's episode. And so essentially what this study shows is that not only timing in the window, but timing specifically to the optimal days, which would be those days of clear, stretchy cervical fluid that is slippery in the highest quantities, that makes a significant difference. And even for some of the couples who had been conceiving for quite some time, there was still a fairly high pregnancy rate. And so what I always say is that timing is not everything, but it is essential. And so what I mean by that is, I mean, if you don't have sex at the right time in the cycle, pregnancy can't happen at all. This is the reason why fertility awareness can be used as a birth control method. So correct timing is really essential. It's very, very important. But it's not everything. But it does help you to identify if there is an opportunity to look deeper to see if there are other fertility issues. Because generally speaking, the research around fertility awareness-based methods and what they term fertility-focused intercourse is that instead of thinking, oh, I have to have sex for a year to see what happens, like is the common kind of medical approach, if you're timing correctly, actually correctly, based on your cycle, based on these approaches around mucus or just around those days of peak fertility, as they did in the study, then they suggest that within 6 months, a healthy couple would conceive. And so instead of waiting a full year for an evaluation, they would recommend pulling that date up to the 6 month mark. So I would say that the timing is essential, but it's not everything. But without the timing, you don't have anything. Because if you're not hitting those correct days, then really and truly, you might not have a fertility issue. You might just have a timing issue. And although it might seem kind of crazy, it is possible to have sex a lot. And if you're not hitting those days to not get pregnant, that is, again, the basis for using this method for birth control. And it's easier than you think. You would think, well, if a couple's trying to conceive, how is this even possible? All it takes is a couple days of travel, maybe a couple days of illness, if you and your partner work opposite schedules. And especially for couples who've been trying to conceive for a while, from someone who's worked with many couples who are trying to conceive or worked with women and seen the menstrual cycle charts, it's not to say that every couple is having sex every day or every other day. Sometimes the sex is literally happening in the window only, and there's only 1 or 2 days. So if those 1 or 2 days are wrong month after month, then it really can happen. So whether you're tuning into this episode for information about yourself to optimize your chances, or if this is something that you're wanting to dive deeper into to support your clients, I think that it's really important to just never assume anything. Never assume that even if you yourself have charted your cycles, just never assume that you totally have it all figured out. Always take an opportunity to just reevaluate. And even if you've been charting, look back at your cycles. Make sure that you're noting the days that you have sex. So if you're not doing that, make sure to do that because you won't remember it in retrospect. So always note that and then compare the days that you were having sex to the actual day of ovulation. If you're charting your temperature and you can kind of retrospectively look, or if you're charting your mucus and you can see when the mucus is drying up, you want to actually evaluate, are you actually having sex in that window? And based on the definition that we went through today that they outlined in the study, were you hitting those days of peak fertility, you know, consistently every cycle? And so that is something where we can take it for granted and assume. But even if you know this stuff, this is one thing that's also interesting. Even if you know it, because you can be like, I know all this stuff. Are you doing it? Right? So knowing and doing are totally not the same thing. You might think that you know it and all the things, but then when you look back, you might be like, oh, wait, in October, yeah, that was the month that I was away. And oh my goodness, in August, that was the month that I was really sick that week. And in July, that was the week that my cat had to go in for surgery or whatever. And like all of a sudden, you realize that even though you know this stuff inside and out, was sex actually taking place at that time? And this is the reason I think that when we look at these types of studies that literally only change timing, because like I said, there are several. And in this particular study, he references a few of the previous studies that have been done in this area. And I think this is why, you know, I've seen numbers as high as like 30% when you have couples who specifically have been trying to conceive for whether it's 6 months, a year or more, and they haven't been successful and all they change is timing. And there always is a percentage of couples who, with only the change in timing, do conceive. So to kind of bring this all together, what is the purpose of this information? What does the study tell us? What are the action steps? I think overall, there's a few key takeaways. I mean, one, the guidelines that are commonly given to women around timing sex correctly are just totally out of date. And in Real Food for Fertility, in the conception chapter, I went to town on this concept of frequency and timing. I reviewed a variety of studies that were looking at the aspects of timing that are shared to couples that are meant to increase the sperm numbers. So the advice of having sex every other day, for example, is based on the idea that men, they make sperm every day, and so that number is fairly consistent. And if you have sex every other day, it gives theoretically this opportunity for the number of sperm to build up so that when you have that ejaculation, there's going to be more sperm. And so I went through the difference between having sex every single day as the recommendation is, or having sex every other day, or having sex multiple times a day. And ultimately, when you look at the research in its entirety, you're not going to increase your per cycle chance of conception higher than the upper limit, regardless of how many times you have sex in that cycle. Let me say that again in a different way, just to make sure that it sticks. So when we're looking at, in general, healthy couples that are trying to get pregnant, when they have sex during that 6-day fertile window, the most I've seen in a research study in terms of their percent chance per cycle is about 30%. Now, typically, it's about 25%. On average, 25% chance per cycle. So when you have an average couple that is trying to get pregnant, healthy couple, no fertility issues, the average percent chance per cycle is 25 to 30%, which means that on average, you can expect up to 4 cycles of trying, and that would be normal. That would be considered normal. So when you think about that, whether you're having sex once, and it's on that peak day of fertility, right? Those peak days, the days where the mucus is of highest quality. Or whether you're having sex, I don't know, 10 times. Having sex 10 times in the window doesn't mean that your chance goes from 25% that cycle to like 85. The chance per cycle is still 25 to 30%. So that's something to consider. The research wouldn't suggest that the number of times that you're having sex is going to make a difference. So hopefully that is clear, because ultimately there's always this chance and it's always based on whether or not the sex is happening in the window. There is an interesting study that looked more specifically at the fertile window. And so they had the participants identify when they were having sex, and they broke down that 6-day fertile window. And they found that when the sex is happening on ovulation day or the day before, divide the percent out based on are you having 4 or 4 days before. And either way, regardless of based on whether or not the participant was having sex around those peak days, not based on how many times the participant was having sex. So hopefully that helps. And so to pull it back, the current recommendations are just not evidence-based. So telling someone to have sex every day or every other day, but not actually outlining that there's only 6 days like that it's useful is just not, it's just not good advice. And what it does is it just, it fosters confusion. It does not increase a person's education or understanding around what's happening in their cycle. So it's kind of like a shot in the dark. It's like you're playing darts and it's dark and you can't even see the dartboard. And the person's just telling you to just shoot the darts. And like, you don't know where the dartboard is. So you're just shooting them and shooting them. I mean, if you're shooting more and more darts, but you don't know where the dartboard is, like, is this useful? Or should we turn on the lights and show them where the dartboard is and then tell them to shoot at the dartboard? So I feel like this is a good analogy for this advice of like, oh, just have sex every other day or just have more sex or whatever. And if you've been trying to conceive for a while, you may have even been told that by your actual doctor. And now you can be more strategic. Not to say that having more sex can't be beneficial for your relationship and bonding and all of that. But when you're trying to conceive, many couples are fatigued. And I think one of the benefits for understanding the fertile window is knowing when it really counts and knowing when it doesn't, knowing when it's not going to result in pregnancy. Because I think that that could give you an opportunity to truly have sex that is not feeling pressured or associated with trying. So I don't know how many couples take advantage of that opportunity, but if you're tracking your cycle and you know that you've ovulated already, you could have sex knowing that it can't result in pregnancy. So you could just enjoy it and have fun and relax and do what you need to do versus being told to have sex every day all the time and being in that dartboard in the dark scenario and always feeling like it's a try. And I think this is something as well where you may think that you understand these fertility awareness principles, but I've worked with clients who, like I said, their partner is out of town during the window, but they had lots of sex around that, you know, so before he left and after he left, not in the window at all. So I'm looking at the cycle knowing that there's virtually no chance of pregnancy because there was no sex in the window, right? But even though that is the case, there was still sex. So you still have at the end of the cycle, the disappointment. Because you still think there's a chance because we've been so brainwashed to think that pregnancy can happen on any day of the cycle. So that's a huge takeaway from the study that we need to shift from these guidelines that are not evidence-based and move towards what actually is going to make the biggest difference. And I would say timing is more important than frequency. And this is what I argue in Real Food for Fertility in the section based on the research. I share a variety of different papers looking at this from different angles. Timing is more important than frequency. Identifying those days of peak fertility and timing sex based on those days, even if you have less sex in the cycle, the sex you have is going to count. So again, throwing darts at the dartboard with the light on is what you're doing. And you're more likely to get it, obviously, than not. I think the other takeaway from this is that it's time that we really increase the education of women and couples around fertility. There's a huge problem and a huge lack of education. And to this day, this fertility awareness knowledge is still not commonly taught. And for even for yourself, think about how you found yourself listening to this podcast today. You know, how did you find it? And this is unfortunate in a way because you kind of have to stumble on it or someone has to tell you about it or someone has to recommend it. And thank you to all the people who recommend and, you know, spread the word because that's really how this is happening and how these changes are happening. But if you think about it, even in today's day and age, it's really not common knowledge. And so we're kind of fortunate when we're able to find our way to this information when someone does mention it or when you do hear about it or learn about it and then decide to take a deep dive into the rabbit hole. Hopefully we'll change that. Hopefully we'll see that change and we'll see that more women and more couples are exposed to this fertility awareness knowledge so that they can improve their chances of conception and have greater success through natural means. That's, of course, the ideal. But either way, back to the kind of takeaway here is that there's this incredible opportunity for women and couples to learn about their fertility. And when they are educated, like in this particular study, all we have to do is educate women and couples about their days of optimal and peak fertility to significantly increase their chances of conception. And although it's not going to result in a pregnancy in every single case, because there are cases where couples have different fertility challenges, it increases that awareness so that if there is a fertility challenge, we are being a lot more vigilant about getting that screening and testing sooner. because as soon as you are alerted to the fact that this is my fertile window, now I know when I'm trying, then you start to get concerned when it's not happening. And that concern will drive you to seek the additional support and additional investigation sooner. There was one other interesting finding in the study, and I debated on whether or not to kind of go into it, but I'll just give it a little nod. So the researchers, when they were assessing the data, in addition to identifying just the percentage of women who conceived in the, like by having sex on the peak days versus not, they also separated out by age, women who were over 30 versus under 30. And so what they found was that the women who were under 30 had a much higher rate of pregnancy compared to the women who were over 30. It was statistically significant. And again, this speaks to changes with age. Now, one thing I'll point out is that, I mean, they always kind of pick on the age of the woman. And so generally speaking, as women are older, our partners also get older, right? It's not just us that are getting older. So this issue with age could be related to her age specifically. Age is certainly highly correlated with fertility, but it also is likely a combination of her age plus her partner's age. And so this is another area where we are not really educated about, we're not really taught about it, we're not really encouraged to focus on that. But one thing to note is that fertility does change with age, and it is something that we want to be aware of and we want to take into consideration. And once we get into that older age range, like myself, I am 42. If you're trying to conceive, it is a good opportunity to look deeper into optimizing your fertility, optimizing egg and sperm quality, and really learning more about some of the challenges that can occur as you get older. And so the takeaway is that there's still opportunity for you to make improvements and changes to increase your chances. The strategy may just have to be a little bit more targeted. So I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. I was excited to share this research study with you. Like I said, I love research studies that are done by researchers with a background in fertility awareness that are able to go more into the weeds. Many research studies that touch on fertility awareness aspects don't necessarily go into this much detail, where they're educating the participants about the different types of mucus and having them time sex based on those nuances. So it is really neat to be able to see research that's being done like that, and to also to be able to see this peer-reviewed evidence that shows us that these techniques really do improve the chance of conception, and also to highlight that difference between what the research is showing and what's done in practice. So just as a reminder, on average, it takes anywhere from about 10 to 20 years before the newest research is adopted into routine medical practice. So what we're seeing is in line with that research. What we're seeing is that it does take time. And so that's where we come in. That's where we come in to really fill that, close that gap, so that we're sharing this information with women and couples who need it today, who can't wait for 20 years before this is adopted into routine medical practice. So I hope that you have a wonderful weekend, whenever you're tuning into the show. If you enjoyed today's episode and you know somebody who can benefit from it, please share. You can share the link to share, fertilityfriday.com/563. And like I said, if you are enjoying these research series episodes and you're wanting to dive into some of our previous episodes in this series, you can head over to fertilityfriday.com/research for the full list. So as always, until next time, be well and happy charting. And that's a wrap. If you're loving the Fertility Friday podcast, then I know you'll love our Fertility Awareness Mastery Mentorship Program. It's a 9-month immersive experience that will completely transform the way you work with clients, allowing you to not only teach fertility awareness, but to use the menstrual cycle as a vital sign and diagnostic tool in your women's health practice. Our next class starts on the 26th of March, so there's still time to reserve your spot. There's no other program like this offered anywhere. Transform your practice in 9 months. Head over to fertilityfriday.com/famlive to apply now. That's fertilityfriday.com/famlive. Join us in FAM. This is your year, and we can't wait to have you. Again, that's fertilityfriday.com/famlive.